The theme for this month is a call to discipleship. How many here tonight are excited about getting into God's Word? All right. I like that. All right. A call to discipleship. And I want to ask you a question tonight. When I say the word Christian, what comes to your mind? What is a Christian? When I say the word Christian, how do you define Christian? One at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Yes, sir.
Believer.
Believer. Anybody else?
Follower of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Follower of
Jesus Christ. All right, you got it. You know, and in the world today, in Christianity today, there exists two categories of Christians. There are Christians who are nominal Christians by name only. In other words, they were raised in the church. They were raised in a Christian home. And so they call themselves Christians. In other words, they say, I go to church. I was raised in a Christian home. And my parents always brought me to church. So I am a Christian. That's a nominal Christian by name. They call themselves a Christian by name only. They go to church on Sundays, but they live like the world and its sin the rest of the week. And you know, I do evangelistic outreach two Saturdays a month with a street team. And I often ask the people that I'm ministering to, sir, ma'am, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And oftentimes the response is, yes, if I die today or when I die, I will go to heaven because, here's the responses, because I'm a good person. Another response is, I'm going to heaven because I believe in God. Well, the Bible says that the demons believe in God and they tremble. Another response is, yes, I'm going to heaven because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And last night, as we were doing street ministry here in downtown Tulsa, I was at the Greyhound bus station talking with a 32-year-old young lady. And she was taking the bus back home to Kansas City. And so, having a conversation with her, and I was telling her that she could remain committed to Christ. She claimed that she had love for God and love for Christ. And I said, one of the ways that you can remain committed to Christ on this earth, while on this earth, is by reading your Bible. She said, I do that. I said, well, you can pray to God daily. She said, I do that. And then I said, you can find solid Christian friends. And through the course of the conversation, to make a long story short, she said pretty much that she wanted to continue fellowshipping with her old friends who have premarital sex, who party, who do the things that the world does. But in that same conversation, she said she didn't want to break those ties. She wanted to continue fellowshipping with the friends who are doing sinful things. But at the same time, she said that she loves Christ. And you know, that's a contradiction in thoughts. Would you agree here tonight? That you can live in sin like the world and say that you are good with Christ. To say that you could live like the world in sin and to say that you are a follower of Christ is a contradiction of thoughts. Would you agree here tonight? Why is that? Hence the second category of Christians. A true Christian is what? A true Christian is a true committed follower of Jesus Christ. If you claim to others that you are a true, committed follower of Jesus Christ, then you're not going to enjoy fellowshipping with the world. You're not going to enjoy spending the majority of your time having premarital sex if you're a true follower of Christ. If you're a true follower of Christ, you're not going to enjoy fellowshipping with people who are doing drugs all the time, who are getting drunk all the time, who are going to palm readers. Is that making sense here tonight?
Amen.
To say that you're a true follower of Christ, but still you are indulging in selfish ways is a contradiction of thoughts. All right,
Mark.
Chapter 8 is the passage tonight.
Mark.
Chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Jesus speaking to his disciples.
Mark.
8, 31 through 38 from the NIV. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Verse 33, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Here's the key. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." For the next few minutes, I want to concentrate on verse 34 of Mark chapter 8. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me," in other words, if anyone would be my true disciple, he must deny himself, she must deny herself, and take up his cross, her cross, and follow me. That's what a true committed follower of Jesus Christ does. He or she must deny self, the fleshly pleasures of the flesh. And the girl that I was talking with last night at the bus station kept saying, "You know, I do for myself what makes me happy. I do what makes me happy." And that's the way the world thinks. Those who are not true followers of Christ, they do for themselves what makes them happy. But if you want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, you must deny self, the fleshly pleasures of the flesh. You must deny what the flesh wants, and this is the cross to bear in following Christ. This is the cross that Jesus is talking about in Mark 8:34, is denying yourself of what the flesh wants. So for the next couple of minutes, I want to talk about denying self. What does it mean to deny self? When I say you must deny self in order to be a true committed follower of Christ, what does it mean to deny self? Denying self is all about making Jesus Lord. What does Lord mean? What does Jesus as Lord mean? What does the word Lord mean? Denying self means making Jesus Lord. But what does Lord mean? What does it mean?
Master.
That's right. Lord means supreme in authority, commander of your life. Making Jesus Lord is giving up what self wants and replacing it with what Christ wants for your life. Let me say it again. Making Jesus Lord, listen to me, making Jesus Lord means giving up what self and selfishness want, and replacing it with what Jesus wants instead. You know, you have a boss, for instance. How many here have a job that you work at? Maybe not 40 hours a week, but maybe 4 hours a day, 8 hours a day, okay? So if you're working for that boss, let's say hypothetically, 8 hours a day. As long as he's telling you what to do is ethical, for 8 hours a day, he calls the shots. If he tells you to make a delivery, you make a delivery. He's telling you what to do because he's paying you for the 8-hour day. He's your boss, right, in the physical. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ wants to be the big boss of your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ, if you're a true follower of Christ, wants to be the big boss in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A week. You know, if Jesus were to walk into this room right now, in the flesh, and he were to say, "Jump," we would say, "Jesus, Lord, Master, how high?" He is with us by Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. You know, look at your life like an automobile. Look at your life like an automobile. How many here drive a car, have driven a car? All right. You've been in the driver's seat. You've had the steering wheel. Well, guess what? You might be in the driver's seat of your life right now, calling the shots in your life, doing what self wants, indulging your flesh. But guess who wants to be in the driver's seat of your life? There's only one who should be there, and his name is God the Son, Jesus Christ. Say with me, I want Jesus Christ to be in the driver's seat of my life, to have the steering wheel of my life. All right, friends, as you're making Jesus Christ your Lord, you need to talk to him in prayer. Pray. You need to receive instruction from Jesus through His Word. Now, making Jesus Lord, denying yourself, taking up that cross of denying self. We're going to talk about it in concerning the body, your physical body. You can either do what self finds pleasurable concerning your physical body, or you could do what Christ wants. What does self say to do with your body? Self says, have fun, sleep around with somebody who's not your spouse. Drink, and get drunk. Do drugs and get high. Look at things you're not supposed to look at. That's indulging self. But if you're a true follower of Christ, if you're trying to follow Christ with your whole heart, you start doing what Christ asks you to do, commands us to do in His written Word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that you are, your body is God's temple. You don't sleep with somebody who is not your spouse. You don't do drugs to get high. You shouldn't drink to get drunk. Amen? Is that making sense here tonight? All right. And you know, the thing is this. You're to give up certain everything of the flesh. And it doesn't happen instantly. When you come to Christ and you say, Jesus, be my Savior, that's awesome. But guess what? You might live another 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years on this earth. And it's in those years that you give up, you let go of the things that self wants to do. Because if you indulge self constantly, eventually that will lead you, God forbid, eternally to the pit of hell. Amen? Concerning your mind, making Jesus Lord, denying self, you can either think self-absorbed thoughts, like if somebody offends you, you can think thoughts of revenge. You know, how can I get back at this person? Or you can think thoughts of, you know what, if you help me, I'll help you. Those are self-absorbed thoughts. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, you help those even who cannot help you. So in other words, concerning your mind, you can either think self-absorbed thoughts or you could think the way Christ wants you to think. Forgive your debtors, Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 12. In the realm of your words, your spoken words, they can either be self-absorbed words, four-letter words. If you stub your big toe or somebody irritates you, you might speak a four-letter word. And maybe you're always speaking four-letter words. Or you could speak the words that Christ wants you to come from your mouth. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. What does it say? It says what about our speech? It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Your word should be pure. Your word should be encouraging. Your word should be Christ-like. Your word should be uplifting. And the way you get your words pure is by getting into the Word of God, is by not hanging out with people who are always speaking four-letter words. Is that making sense here tonight? Amen? Amen? We're talking about denying self, making Jesus your Lord. Concerning your spirits. You know, how many here would like to know what their future holds? How many would like to know what their future holds? Okay, you can either selfishly consult palm readers, astrologers, or you can consult the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And if you consult palm readers and astrologers, you are opening up your spirit for the enemy to wreak havoc with it. You're only to consult the Holy Spirit concerning what your future holds. Amen? Amen? Concerning your physical relationships on this earth, you can either fellowship with darkness, as I talked about earlier with the girl I was talking with last night, or you could do as Christ wants. You can fellowship with children of the light. And I'm not telling you here tonight to totally cut off relationship with unbelievers. Because except you have some relationship with them, they may never come to Christ. What I'm saying is that the majority of your time, friends, should be spent fellowshipping with those who are stronger than you in Christ. Because they can help pull you up spiritually. Is that making sense here tonight? 2 Corinthians 6:14, for instance. Paul writes this. He says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? If you are a child of the light, if you are a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, what fellowship do you have with darkness, with those who are living in darkness? living in sin. Amen? Is that making sense here tonight? So in these different areas of your life, in every area of your life, as time goes on, you give these things up. And you know, you can't do it on your own. You might be saying tonight, Jonathan, that's tough, man. How can I stop looking at the things I like to look at, even though it's sinful? It's tough to do. Jonathan, how can I stop drinking that alcohol or smoking those cigarettes? Man, I really in myself can't stop sleeping with that person who is not my spouse. I'm really tempted to go to that palm reader, Jonathan. Man, I'm so tempted to speak four-letter words every time I get upset. And you know what? In ourselves, friends, we get weak. But when you're weak, He, God, is strong through you. Amen? When you get weak, you just cry out to God and say, God, I'm too weak. I can't do this. I'm trying to make you Lord, but it's tough. I'm trying to deny myself. I'm trying to deny indulging self. God, I can't do it on my own. And at the point of your weakness is when God steps in and gives you His supernatural divine energy and grace to make Jesus Lord more and more every day. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And true followers of Christ, going back to Mark chapter 8, just to finish it off here tonight. So true followers of Christ, first of all, do what? They deny self, right? That's the cross that they take up, denying selfish desires. Mark 8:34. And number two, true followers of Christ are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 35 of Mark 8, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me in the gospel will save it." Verse 35. It's talking about those who have enough faith in Christ to lose their physical lives will gain eternal life. Do you have enough faith in Christ to lose your life physically in order to gain eternal life? If somebody, hypothetically, were to come up to you in the coming days and put a gun to your head and say, "Deny Christ and I won't shoot." Or they might say, "If you accept Christ, if you defend Christ, I will shoot." Which would you do? Would you deny Christ?
No.
I wouldn't deny Christ. Let them shoot. Because if you lose your life physically on this earth, guess what? You gain eternal life forever and ever and ever. Think about that. If somebody were to put a gun up to your head and said, "Deny your faith in Christ," would you do it? Do you have enough faith in Christ? Are you sure enough about your relationship with Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ enough that you would not deny Him if somebody put a gun up to your head? And guess what? If they pull the trigger and you die physically, you save your life eternally. That's what He's talking about in Mark 8, verse 35. Verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world by denying Christ, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And you here tonight might be dealing with this in your realm. What good is it to gain a world of non-Christian friends who do drugs and alcohol, but you lose your own soul eternally? What good is that? What good will it do to you? And it's even in different circles, people who are wealthy. You know, they get into a career, and maybe they're working 8 hours a day, and they get more and more involved in their job, and they go from 8 hours to 9 hours, to 10 hours, to 12 hours, to working 14 hours and 15 hours in that day, to the point where they're neglecting their family. And you know, it's like the frog in boiling water. You put a frog in water, and the heat is turned up little by little. He doesn't realize it, but eventually he boils to death without even knowing it. And it's like that in the world, where people get so involved in their career. They gain a world of a career. They gain a world of money. They neglect their family, and in gaining that career, in gaining that money, in growing their career, they forget about Christ. They stop going to church. They stop praying to God. They stop reading their Bible, to the point where they're gaining the whole world, but they're losing their soul eternally. I don't want to be there. How about you? In your own little, in your own world, in your own sphere of influence, friends, are you forfeiting eternal life? Your soul going to heaven forever by gaining a world of ungodly friends who are doing unchristian things? I don't want to be there. How about yourself? It's not worth it. It's not worth developing friendships with a bunch of people who are who are getting high, who are getting drunk, who are sleeping around. Man, but I'm gaining a world of friends. But at the same time, you're losing your soul. It shouldn't be. I'm going to read you a couple of quotes here from the speaker's quote book. And it says this. William Borden of Yale University planned to be a missionary to China, but instead he went to Egypt. In Cairo, he contracted spinal meningitis. As he lay dying, he said six words. No regrets, no reservations, no retreat. Isn't that awesome? He was willing to give up his life physically for the cause of Christ. And guess what? He gained eternal life. Chuck Colson tells of speaking on the campus of a secular university. He was talking about his commitment to Christ and mentioned that he was willing, if necessary, to die on behalf of the Savior. A young man in the crowd angrily interrupted, shouting, "Come on, Colson, nothing is worth dying for." To which Colson replied, "If there is nothing you are willing to die for, then I submit that you have nothing to live for." Are you willing to die for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to, if it was necessary, to die physically for Jesus Christ to gain eternal life for your soul? Is your faith in Christ that strong? Now, this is the mark of a true committed follower of Christ, where he's willing to give it all up, willing even to give up his physical life by death or whatever it might be for Jesus Christ. And I'm preaching to myself here tonight, preaching out to you guys, but I'm also preaching to myself. Verse 38, kind of the same thought. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. You know, if you're talking about Christ, amongst a group of people here in Tulsa, and somebody hears and starts mocking you and making fun of you, and they keep mocking you and making fun of you, will you stop talking about Christ? Will you get ashamed and stop talking about Christ? No, not me. I'll keep talking. How about you? Amen?